Joshua, congratulations. What a swell new album.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm pleased about it, and I love the repertoire, so thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
I thought it was sort of poetic. You've recorded Beethoven symphonies, you've recorded an amazing disc that had some unusual arrangements of Bach, and now Brahms, so you've sort of hit the third B on this.
That's right. I didn't think of it that way. Maybe we'll package them all together that way someday.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I love Brahms, and it's just, it's nice to involve my very good friends, Steven Isserles, who I've been playing with for 30 years, and Jeremy Dank, my other most sort of prolific chamber music partner, so it's a family affair.
Some of the sweetest playing I've heard, and just genuinely touching Brahms. Do you have any memories? Did Gingold and Starker ever play this? Do you remember the first time you heard it and the first time you learned it?
First time I learned it, I was probably a teenager. Actually, the first time I played it was with Steven Isserles, probably when I was 20 or 21 years old, something like that. Soon after I met Steven, I think we played it together in Montreal with John Elliott Gardiner conducting. I know Gingold and Starker played it together. Gingold, you know, loved the piece. So I guess I must have played it for Gingold, because I was still sort of under his wing a bit, although I was already kind of traveling a lot and playing. But geez, I'm trying to think of the first time. It's been so long, so I don't know. But Steven and I have sort of played it over the years many times. Occasionally I've cheated on him as a on a chamber part. I played once with Yo-Yo and with Gary Hoffman and various places. But Steven and I we've really grown with it together, and we finally felt it was time to put it down. Now that we had an orchestra that I felt really comfortable with, I loved the Academy, and so the time was right, and so we finally did it.
It is quintessential Brahms and such an early chamber work. That's got to have been fun to put together.
Yeah, well, the trio, this B major trio is quite well known, but mostly in its revised version. So it's called the Opus 8, but it's actually, the revised version is really more a later Brahms. The early version, actually, again, Stephen introduced me to. I wasn't even aware that it existed, because it's so often played in its other form. And I was kind of shocked by it, because it was so different. There are so many themes that there are not even remnants of it in the revised version. It's a little more, I wouldn't say all over the place, but it's less compact as the one that he ended up with. But it's got so much sort of young, hard on sleeve Brahms that I think is very endearing. And one might want to pick it apart, analyzing it, say it's not as perfectly put together as the later version. But I think it's something really worth listening to.
Thank you. this too is one of those sort of gems. Do friends come up and say, oh, hey, have you seen this manuscript? Or now that you've, you know, in London with the Academy, do people come up and say, oh, by the way, do you know this Briton? How do you discover these sort of things?
Well, you know, that happens every once in a while, although you don't find pieces of major composers very often, you know, that are not heard of. And actually it was Stephen, who's quite interested in little odd historical things. He's always investigating, and he found it in some library. It's never been published, this version, which is basically just a coda added to the end of the slow movement, because the slow movement in its original form goes sort of transitions into the last movement of the concerto, and so there's really no way to play it on its own. But so this adds a coda that kind of finishes it, and it's a little unusual. It sounds a little bit of a departure from Schumann at the very end, but it is what it is. It's something beautiful, and I just love this piece so much, the Schumann Concerto, which I recorded many years ago in its full form with the Cleveland Orchestra in Dohnanyi.
Yeah, it's right up there. You know, I'd vote for it with Vinyavsky second, you know, as those beautiful slow movements. You know, it's just,
oh yes,
so charming. I
mean, a slow movement doesn't get much better than that.
I guess I'd end asking. I know it's nice for you to get back to Indiana here, and we're up the road, but it's got to be nice to come back and see friends and visit Indiana.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, Indiana is still my home, although I spend a lot of time in New York City and London now. But I still teach a bit at Indiana University. My family lives in Indianapolis and Bloomington, and I still consider Purdue rival. So.
We'll have to get you to the game sometime, you know, because they've been kicking our butt, I guess, the last few years. I'm new here, but I guess you guys have been leading.
Well, I've enjoyed on occasion playing in West Lafayette, and hope I can come back sometime soon.
We hope so, too. And congratulations. This is lovely, and really looking forward to so much more.
Thanks so much, John. Thank you.